This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. One of the most common and well-known images and ways that we describe God is we describe God as our Father. In fact, it was Jesus himself who taught us this image and this idea of who God was by introducing us to the Lord's Prayer and saying that when you pray, begin by saying, Our Father. And understanding God as our Father, as our heavenly parent, is a wonderful way for us to establish what our relationship is and looks like with God. That we understand that God loves us as one of his children. And that we understand that God loves us as a good parent loves us. That he's there for us. That he provides for us. And he mentors us throughout our entire lives. But sometimes this image of understanding God as our Father can be somewhat problematic. Especially if we relate it too much or too often to our own experience with our heavenly parents. You see, we recognize that God says that he is perfect, that he is without sin, yet the parents in our life, as wonderful as they might be sometimes, are not perfect and are also with sin like we are. And so it's important to understand that we need to make distinctions between who God is and who our earthly parents are. That while understanding God as our Father is helpful, in some situations, it can even be problematic. You see, it can be problematic because it can cause us to view God as a stern taskmaster, as someone who looks down on us and demands from us complete and total obedience, and if we do not follow him perfectly all the time, that he will punish us and he will discipline us. Other times, we see God as someone who might judge us or condemn us if we have bad thoughts or bad ideas, that we are told to hide away our most precious thoughts from God, the things that might be embarrassing or the things that might be offensive to God, and keep them to ourselves. You see, we are not to view God as a stern taskmaster. We are not to view God as someone who will punish us if we ask him a question that is maybe not entirely respectful. In other words, we are not supposed to fear God. But often it's this fear of God that causes our relationship with him to be somewhat inadequate, somewhat incomplete. It causes our relationship to be with him to lack total openness and honesty because we believe if we share all of ourselves, all of our hearts and our minds with God, that God will somehow be offended or rebuke us or reject us. But our gospel reading today shows us that is not the case. In our gospel reading today, we find Jesus' disciples gathered together after Jesus had risen from the dead. And they were not throwing a party. They were not having a celebration. In fact, they were locked away in a house because they were afraid. They were afraid that the people that killed Jesus would kill them as well, that they would be tried and convicted as accomplices of Jesus. And so they locked themselves away in a house, wondering what their next move was. And in their fear, Jesus bursts into the house and says to them, "Peace be with you." He reveals to them that he is in fact risen from the dead, and they no longer need to fear condemnation. They no longer need to fear death because he is alive. He is the Messiah, just like he promised. But there is one disciple that is missing, a disciple named Thomas, when this happens. And so when Thomas comes back later, the disciples say to Thomas, "We have seen the resurrected Lord." Thomas is filled with disbelief because Thomas, like the other disciples, had seen Jesus die on the cross. And so he was skeptical of this. And Thomas said that unless I see the marks in his hands, unless I see the wound on his side, I will not believe. You see, Thomas had seen Jesus die, but he had not seen him rise from the dead. And because of this,
Thomas gets a bad rap, a bad nickname throughout history. That Thomas is often referred to by believers and non-believers, doubting Thomas. Then when a person is skeptical or uncertain of something, they're called a doubting Thomas because of these events. But Thomas was not a coward. Thomas was not someone without faith. In fact, earlier in the Gospels, word is received that Jesus' friend Lazarus has died. And Thomas steps up and says, when Jesus is going to Jerusalem, when Jesus is going to visit Lazarus, Thomas says, "Let us go so that we might die with Jesus." You see, Thomas was willing to give his life for Jesus and the cause of the gospel. But Thomas was having his own hard moment. He was having his own difficult moment of skepticism, of fear and doubt. Because Thomas is a human being, like all of us. You see, all of us go through situations in our life where we're maybe skeptical about the goodness of God. We're maybe afraid for our future. We're maybe wondering, has God forgotten us or abandoned us? Does God not have a plan for our life? And often what we do when we have those doubts and those fears is we shut ourselves down. We shut ourselves down, we close off our feelings, and we don't open ourselves up to God. Because we think that God will judge us and condemn us, that God will treat us harshly for disbelieving or for wavering in our faith. But God is not a God who condemns us in our doubts, in our fears, in our struggles. God is a God who works with us to sort out our struggles. I remember when I was in third grade. And in third grade, I was obsessed with a television show called The Power Rangers. The Power Rangers was probably the most popular show on TV at that time. And so every single day, I would want to come home from school and watch Power Rangers. Because this was the time before DVRs, before you could record a TV show, that if you missed a show, you missed it. You might never see it again. And so every day from school, I would come home and I would watch this show, Power Rangers. But there was one period in school where I had a big report due. You see, we all had to do a book report on a specific city in the United States, and I got the city of Chicago. And so over the course of a couple weeks, I was supposed to read this book about Chicago, and I was supposed to write a report on it that would be quite lengthy. And so every day during those 2 weeks, I was supposed to come home from school, and I was supposed to write a report on Chicago. So my parents would tell me to go up to my room and work on my report. But I remember that I would go up to my room and I didn't want to work on my report. Instead, I wanted to watch the Power Rangers. So every single day went by and my parents thought I was in my room working on my report, and instead I was watching my TV show. Until finally, the day the report came due, I had nothing completely done and I was filled with fear and I didn't know what I was going to do. And so I did something that I'm not particularly proud of, but I was trying to get out of the punishment of being in this situation, and so I faked sick. I said that I didn't feel well and I didn't want to go to school that day. And that worked. I faked sick, I didn't have to go to school that day, and I didn't have to deal with my Chicago report not being turned in. But then the second day came, and I knew that I would have to return this report in. And so the moment came to go to school that day, and once again, I said I was sick, but this time, my parents looked at me skeptical, thinking that I didn't really look sick, that maybe something else was going on. And so they told me, go to school, and if you don't feel well, go to the nurse's office, and we'll come and pick you up. And so I got off the school bus, and the first thing I did was not go to my classroom, but walk immediately to the nurse's office so I would not have to confront my teacher. And so I went to the nurse's office, I sat there, and the nurse called my parents. And so my dad came to the school, and he walked into the nervous office, looked at me, and said, "I'll be right back." I didn't know where he was going. I didn't know what he was doing. And while he was gone, it turns out he was going to talk to my teacher. He eventually came back to the nurse's office, and he told me to come with him into his truck. And we sat there, and he asked if I had anything due in school that day. I immediately burst into tears because the jig was up. All my lying, all my deceiving had completely caught up with me, and I confessed to what I had done wrong. I immediately thought that in that moment, my dad was going to punish me in some way, that now he was really going to drop the hammer on me. And he told me that I had a choice. I had a choice where I could either go home or I could go back into the classroom and tell my teacher what I had done and begin to fix the problem. He did not punish me. He did not rebuke me. He did not reject me as his son, but what he did was walk alongside me into the classroom to right my wrongs, to help me sort out the mess. In our gospel reading today, when Thomas is skeptical of Jesus, when he doubts Jesus, when he feels like his life is a mess and he's filled with fear, Jesus does not come to him and say to him, "How dare you disbelieve? I now reject you as my disciple. You are no longer God's child." No, he goes to Thomas, and he shows Thomas the wounds in his hands. He shows Thomas the wound in his side. He helps Thomas sort out his mess, sort out his doubts, his fears, his problems, until he returns to faith. Do you see God acting in your life the same way? Do you see God as someone who must be feared, who must never be questioned, who you must blindly accept everything he says and does, and that if you make one mistake or if you doubt, you better hide those doubts from God because he will punish and rebuke you? God does not do this to us. You see, God reaches out to us in our doubts and in our confusion, in our fear, as he does with Thomas, and helps us sort things out. And so we too must do the same with God. When we are afraid, when we are worried, we must not turn to ourselves or turn away from God, but we must turn towards God. We must bring all our doubts and fears, all our problems, all our concerns, and lay them openly and plainly out on the table. And in God's own way, he will help us sort through our mess. He will help us sort through our doubts and fears. And like Thomas, in the process, we will come out stronger with our faith. And when we do that, when we receive the peace of Christ, we are called to go out into the world in the same way. Jesus in the Gospels says to the disciples after they receive his word of peace, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." That when other people struggle, when other people falter, when other people stumble, we are not called to judge or condemn them because God did not judge or condemn us first. And so be at peace. Be at peace, not that all your life is perfect, not that you don't have any problems or doubts or fears or concerns, but be at peace knowing that you can bring those doubts and fears and concerns to God, that you can openly share them with God, and that God will love you as he loved Thomas, because you are his child, and because of his death and resurrection, you are not condemned, but you are accepted, and you are called to go out into the world and not condemn others, but to help and guide others as Christ has guided you. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder of what it means to be your child, that in your love, you do not condemn us or rebuke us, but you show us your love and your concern every day of our life, that we can openly, honestly share with you our doubts, our fears, and concerns. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.